So today's theme or topic is about praying or prayer. And, well, have you done any prayers?
Yes.
Right? Now, the tricky question is, when did you pray more? When you want something or when you need something? Or do you actually distinguish that?
Trouble.
Yes. And when we are in pain, especially, either physical, mental, or spiritual, we pray. But what do we pray for? What is our message to God? My case was, please get rid of this pain. Right? Let me out of it. And did God really listen to that prayer? Not really. Right? Sometimes that pain, to my case, was actually needed to me, was actually helping me. In the Bible, very interestingly, if you can check that out too, the very first time the word pray is mentioned is actually for King Abimelech, or Ahimelech. Do you know this guy? It's actually when Abraham moved into this country to avoid this famine, and this king liked Sarah because she was beautiful. So this king took her because Abraham said, "That's my sister." And then in dream, God warns him. And has a curse on them. So God says that actually that prophet shall pray for you to lift up the curse. And then he says to Abraham, please pray for me. So if you check out Old Testament, praying is more related to this kind of issue. If there is a punishment, curse, damnation by God, and you pray to lift that up. Or if there's a misfortune, pain, suffering happens to you, you feel like that's God's punishment. Therefore, you pray that this thing go away from you. The very first person who prayed for what she really desired or what she really wanted was Hannah.
Hannah, yeah.
If you know her.
Oh, yeah.
She's mother of Samuel. And it was not just something that she wants to please her. Actually, it's something that she actually needed to feel like a woman. She had no children. And giving no child to one's husband at the time was actually a big shame.
Big disgrace.
Exactly. So she prayed. And prayed. And God granted that prayer. But you don't see those very many times in the whole Bible. Why not? And the very simple principle is, we as a human have more tendency to pray for what I want. Or more or less saying, what would please me? Or what would free me from pain and suffering? Like, immediately, as soon as possible. And very rare that we really acknowledge that this is what I really need. An interesting thing is, if you really acknowledge that, and you pray for it, you may get it. Or in my case, it happened many times. So when did you really pray really hard, really desperate? Mm. Right? To me, I can remember 3 times that I prayed really, really, really hard. Well, interesting thing is, God did not grant my wishes in all three of them. First time was when Roy was about to be born. And Hee-jung and I, we had a wonderful 9 months of pregnancy. And she exercised really hard to have a very good delivery. We did all our part to make it as easy and smooth as possible. But then she was in the 6 hours of labor, and there's a doctor came to give her epidural, and suddenly baby inside was acting up and his heartbeat was all over. Then in 2 minutes, 5 doctors came, and next 2 minutes, she's delivered to the emergency and she's gone out of my sight. And I thought like, oh my God, I'm losing her. And the child too. I'm somehow, it's very irrational though.
No, but it's perfectly irrational.
But that's what came to me. So suddenly, I had this beautiful wife and I was dreaming about having this baby together and raising him. And now, I'm going to lose them all. And blackness came to my mind. And I wanted to pray, but actually I couldn't pray at that moment. But it had to be done that way. And then after that very long, painful 15 minutes was gone, baby was delivered to me, and they told me, Hee-jung's okay. Well, so, and I'm holding Roy, and wow. That really taught me this, how much valuable she was to me, you know. I mean, I knew that, but in the brain. But this moment, in that 20 minutes of time, I learned to my heart, wow, she's that important to me. And then this baby in my hand. Like, it's a miracle. So the meaning almost tripled to me. Yet, would I want to have that moment again? No. That's definitely not what I wanted. But probably what I needed. And ever since, you can ask my wife, I have no complaint about doing anything for my son. Because that preciousness, that miracle, kind of pounded on me. Next moment was about 4 years or 5 years later, in a 1 week time, Hee-jung was in emergency, and a week later, Roy was in the emergency room, both with the fever. We don't know why. And it was very unpleasant and hard. So again, I prayed and prayed this moment that God please heal them. No, they had to stay there like 24 hours. And I'm next to them almost 24 hours. Later, well, I learned to bother my wife when she's burning out too much energy to stop. And I pay more attention to her. And how, where she is. Maybe that's what I need to know. And my son, that how he is. So I learned to pay more attention to their physical and mental state, and therefore I'm willing to do more to help them. God didn't heal them immediately. You know, it took me a whole week of agony. And the last one was, well, 2 years and a half ago, probably in July, that Roy was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And he was in intensive care, emergency first, and intensive care, and then another night at the, 2 nights in the hospital. So I went in, and for 48 hours, I prayed. In the first 24 hours, what was my prayer? God, please, you can do this. Cure him. Yes. Why? Right? I ask all their questions. No answer. Like dead silence. Usually it doesn't happen to me. Almost 38 or 39 hours of silence. So I thought, wow, God's not going to respond to me with this one. Almost at the end, I heard a very small voice whispering to me that he's going to have a good life. But I felt that God's not going to cure it. And for that remaining 6 hours or so, I struggled to understand, what does that mean? You know, I could see, calculate in all the challenges that we will have. And you know, that's not what anyone wanted. But at the same time, this assurance, there is this inner side brought to me with this, perhaps he may become a better person. Perhaps we will love him more. Perhaps we will provide and nurture him in a way that we haven't done before. What God gave me is the sight to see what could be better with him, a positive way of accepting it. So what taught me is actually that sometimes I just have to accept it and make the best of what is. And that actually is good. So those are 3 times in my life, I believe, I prayed to death to make a change. I wanted to go away, but it never went away. So, praying to God is interesting matter for humans. A lot of times in churches, we use prayer to list our wish list. Mm-hmm. God, please give me this, give me that, change this, change that. And then later we complain that why God is not listening to me? Or why isn't God changing this for me? And the truth maybe is that what we are trying to change is not actually appropriate. Maybe change needs to happen in us. And what we want it to change simply has to be accepted as it is. And that's kind of beauty of Buddhistic tradition too. See, I learned it when I was in 15. I cultivated it many, many years. But the final change happened almost like 20 years later. Which is, I change myself to accept the world. Not change the world to accept me. Everybody knows this, right? We all know this. But when that happens, at least even one piece, there's so much peace. And even to a degree of joy in the heart. And we feel that how much it is that God is actually feeding us. We are fed by God at every moment. And there is something we can do about besides just asking God to feed us. And that's where this Isaiah text comes in. And Susan was asking, this text seems to be kind of out of context. We don't know who it is who is running into desert. Or what battle. It just laid out almost like to the people living in the desert. Those two Dedanites and people of Tema were living in the desert. or better dwellers. Actually, the name Dedan means low country. Low country means not just like ground, more likely valleys. Low, going under. In a correspondential or biblical symbolism, they kind of describe people who are spiritually in low quality, which is connected to the caravans and merchants who are seeking the worldly benefits. And Tema or Tema means actually desert. So desert people whose name means desert. So spiritually dry. That's what it means. Now what this text is telling is that to those people to come out with bread and water and feed the people who are running away to them. Meaning we really need to help each other. When somebody runs to you for a cup of spiritual water, I know that you may have half a cup, but you still need to share that. Or somebody come for you a spiritual bread, you may need to eat that for yourself that night, but you may slice it in half and share that. The miracle is you're not just left with half of it. And that's the promise in the Matthew reading. God may make it full again. Or even two. Or even three. When we're willing to give what is precious to us, to somebody else, we're not just left with lack of it. There is fulfillment by God. And Bible is full of that. And for the faithful, you will never lack what you need. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. If we believe that. So, may God bless you to understand the meaning of prayer, and you pray, and you accept, and you be willing to share what is precious to you. Amen.
Amen.